Looking forward to your presentation.
Good afternoon, and my name is Sonia Russell, and I am a student, PhD student at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha, Nebraska. And before I continue, I should add that I completed my service learning capstone experience for my MPH at, and I was allowed to disclose the name at this federally qualified health center, it's One World in Omaha, Nebraska. And so the data I had collected actually stems from my service learning experience at this community health center. I decided to go back, and I've always wanted to take a closer look and just kind of focus in on the mental health issues that were identified as part of this needs assessment study. It was a strategic planning initiative, and then also wanted to look at the associations between social and environmental factors. Before I continue, I really would like to say my thanks to One World Community Health Center staff that helped me in conducting the study, and also my committee members, both as part of my MPH program and my PhD program now, who continue to mentor me. I would like to mention my preceptor, Dr. Christine McVeigh, who is the chief medical officer at One World, Dr. John Adams, who informed my strategic planning initiative, Dr. Stacy, Dr. Shinobu Watanabe Galloway, Dr. Denise Bridigan, Patrick Johansson, Harold Bertman, and Mr. Robin High, who is a statistician who really helped me along the way as well. I have no relationships to disclose, and I'd just like to give some context and background before diving into the data. We are all well aware that a predictor for all-cause mortality and premature death, mental illness is an invisible and highly prevalent epidemic that often goes undiagnosed and untreated among individuals from under-resourced, disadvantaged minority communities who have limited access to healthcare services, such as individuals served at FQHCs. And FQHCs, they have provided services to these populations since the 1960s, mostly immigrant refugee populations and single mothers and their children. And some of the underlying factors that put individuals, which all of you are also, I'm sure, well aware, at a higher risk for developing mental illness often include exposure to prolonged high levels of stress, primarily attributable to some of the low socioeconomic standing factors, inadequate access to coping resources, race or ethnicity, and immigration status. And actually, I wanted to add that as I was developing the study and the survey, the questionnaire around leading health indicators, I really wanted to keep in mind the population that is served at this community health center and what some of the services may be that serve as coping resources. And as most of you are also aware, as of 2012, community health center needs assessment planning became a requirement for governmental public health agencies with implementation of the Affordable Care Act. And so I had the honor and the privilege to conduct the first needs assessment study for this community health center in Omaha. And at the time I was designing the study, I looked at the literature, and there were definitely studies done to actually use staff perceptions to examine needs and to inform strategic planning processes, but I couldn't find any specific studies also at FQHCs that were conducted in the same manner. And in terms of community health needs assessment studies, they were mostly conducted in the community setting through nonprofit agencies, but really none at FQHCs to that extent, and also none that really looked at the leading health indicators as a guide. And then also, really, I couldn't find a lot of similar studies, or any at all, that looked at leading health indicator and perceived that examined associations of leading health indicators perceived to affect health and perceived burden of mental illness among individuals served at an FQHC. So the specific aims of this additional analysis that I did were to examine FQHC staff perceptions of perceived burden of mental illness among individuals of the community served, to study associations between leading health indicators and mental illness perceived to affect health of individuals of the community served, and to examine the relationships between perceived needed services and mental illness perceived to affect health among individuals of this community. And so, like I said, the study site was One World in Southeast Omaha, Nebraska. It's a primarily Hispanic community that is served. It was a cross-sectional study, non-experimental design. I was surveying the health center staff following a recommendation of the chief medical officer, who felt that a lot of the population, the staff population, actually is from that community and would be able to be a good resource in terms of asking about the needs. It was a convenient sample. I developed a survey instrument around the leading health indicator areas that are recommended by NIH. I had both quantitative and qualitative, and then we established faith and content validity by using instrument evaluation guides, asking subject matter experts, and then a sample of the population as well. It was a paper-based instrument. I have it. It's about 12 pages long. It was pretty quick. It was a checklist of items that I put together, Likert scales. Again, some open-ended questions just to kind of get more rich data and information. The survey was administered at the staff meetings, regularly scheduled staff meetings at this community health center, and I was able to actually survey almost all of the population over the course of 2 to 3 weeks. I attended all of the staff meetings, and whoever attended, it was a convenient sample, got surveyed. So I was using SPSS to generate descriptive statistics and then to do the chi-square analyses, and I did dichotomize responses. And then I was using an Excel spreadsheet to develop the themes and coding for the open-ended questions that were returned. So just to give you a little bit of an idea of what this population that I studied looked like, so I was able to collect 131 responses out of 178, mostly female staff, again, predominantly Hispanic population, and a very young population. The staff there is 85% is under age 45 of the individuals that I surveyed, and they were from different areas. I was able to get a nice mix. It was operations, health assistants, clinicians, nurses, pharmacy staff, administration, WIC, behavioral health, and medical outreach, and one from HR. So we did ask if the individual completing the survey considered themselves a member of the community, and 70% of the staff actually did consider themselves to be members of this community. We asked about mental illness, and 89% of individuals perceived depression, and 88% perceived anxiety to be to affect health of individuals of the community served. And that's actually a little bit higher than what I had on my abstract, because we ended up dichotomizing, and so that means affect health and greatly affect health were combined. So I was looking at leading health indicator areas. I actually had 14 sections on the survey, but for the purpose of this analysis, I was looking at social determinants, environment, homework, where we live, where we work, where we learn, where we play, and then factors of injury and violence. So the results, definitely a lot of significant associations, and I'm not going to go into each, but just to give you an idea that there were statistically significant associations between depression and anxiety and social determinants, such as, racial discrimination was the only one that there was a marginal significance for depression, but it was significant at 0.05 for anxiety, then family separation, underemployment and highly significant underemployment, social policies, poverty, and high school dropout rates were significantly associated. Then looking at depression and anxiety and environmental factors, lead exposure in the home, did also ask about work, but a lot of people indicated that they didn't know, and so we just kind of threw it out. Neighborhood safety, community design, hazardous work environment, and workplace stressors were all significantly associated. Except for community design, anxiety wasn't. That was the only one for that one. And then when looking at factors of injury and violence, depression and anxiety and factors of injury and violence, it was all significant associations for suicide, child abuse and neglect, school violence, domestic violence, homicides, and motor vehicle crashes. And so how do I tell this story about the needs of this community? And I thought, well, I would put together a slide of it shows the shared significant associations of all the factors that we did look at as part of this analysis. And I feel like that really tells a good story of the needs of this community and maybe also how this in turn informs the programs that might be needed, the educational programs, the outreach programs, the support services that might be needed by individuals who are served at this community health center. And as you can see, depression and anxiety, people might be diagnosed, or they might not be, but there's so many underlying factors that potentially play a role. And so I also asked about what are the services that the perceived services needed by individuals of this community. And not to overwhelm you with the slides, but it was mainly health promotion, disease prevention type initiatives, legal services, job training programs, child care, breastfeeding support, ESL classes, a lot of the things that individuals that might be new to this country, immigrant populations, might benefit from. And I guess I also see those as coping resources, ways to buffer stress. So really, all of the items that we did find, the factors, they closely matched actually the open-ended responses that were collected. So the number one category that returned from the analysis was access to care and medications, that there's a great need for that, and particularly bilingual care. Health education, health promotion, and disease prevention programs, transportation, employment, and bilingual services actually tied, and then opportunities for better education. I also wanted to be sure to mention the needs and the strengths, because I feel like that's important to take into consideration when developing outreach programs, to know the community and to hear the voices. And so not to read all of them for you, but mental health was mentioned, mental health education for parenting and healthcare, educational opportunities that center around activities, and a resource center where the family can gain knowledge of their rights in the country. And so this community health center actually expanded quite a bit over the last few years. And since I did the study, they actually incorporated classrooms into their new buildings and office space. So they're trying to offer additional outreach services and education programs that could be that coping resource that individuals need to be more successful in starting their lives in this country. So just also wanted to mention some of the limitations. Although the responses collected were representative of the opinions of the staff that works at this health center, with close to 70% of staff indicating that they do consider themselves members of the community served, staff perceptions identified, they may not be generalizable to the entire community served. And also, due to the large percent of the sample in relation to the finite population size, the utility of inference with statistical tests is limited. But I felt like a lot of the responses, and I know especially this audience, the public health community, is very familiar with some of the things that were identified. So they're not that far-fetched. Conclusions, I was thinking, definitely, this is a great way to, it's a good method to at least get a sense for the needs of individuals who are served at a community health center. And then depression and anxiety, they may, although we can generalize to other populations served at other FQHCs across the country, depression and anxiety may make up the greatest burden of mental illness among individuals of these communities. Examination of social and environmental factors and other leading health indicator areas and needs assessment planning may be important in developing effective population-based health education/promotion interventions aimed at alleviating burden of depression and anxiety among individuals of communities served. And then also to provide a wide range of, when thinking about needs assessment planning for through community health centers, is I feel like it's important to provide a wide range of health education, health promotion programs tailored to cultural and linguistic characteristics of that population. And really the whole person approach to delivery of healthcare services, to keep that in mind, is huge. Making sure I know I'm out of time. But with other, and then to think about creative collaborations with partnerships and other community organizations, because One World can't do this by themselves, and so they really rely on other organizations within the community to deliver some of these support services that are really needed by individuals, by the patients and their family. And another recommendation is to create and distribute directory of resources and services that are available through other organizations, and also have transportation guides on how to use public transportation and things like that. And then maybe even think about, and I don't know how this is true for other FQHCs, but employment of individuals who consider themselves members of the community, it seems to be beneficial in informing outreach and definitely in serving that community. And to then also train staff to notice when to refer different to distribute different resource information to patients. And then this community health center also is very, very good about allowing staff to flex their time. They're very family-oriented. Also to encourage civic engagement among staff and patients, and support advocacy efforts for social policies that have the potential to improve quality of life among members of community served. Because I feel like a lot of how well we are and our mental well-being is closely tied to the quality of life that I experience. And then to regularly assess, because we all have BRFIS data, we have other national data sources, but I recognize that there is a great need to also look at the felt needs and to ask individuals from the community instead of simply relying on just BRFIS data that might not be specific to exactly this population, and to just as a recommendation, and just to know what the community feels is an existing issue or need is important. And that was it.
Thank you.